Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Purple Onion. What a horrible name for a strip club.
And there was about a good half dozen of white folks, and they're shaking my car.
Oh, that's terrifying. There you go. Charlie Brown, Die Hard, and Mariah Carey. Christmas. Yep. What it is. It's your Audible boo thing, Amber Smiles Jones. Welcome to the podcast where we shoot the shit and we take our silliness seriously, the professionally silly podcast. Now listen, this is the show where we can literally find the silly in any topic that I bring to the table. And today is going to be a special episode because my dad is joining us for this episode.
Yes, hey, Dad. Yes, I'm so pleased.
So my dad is attorney Milton D. Jones. He is a bankruptcy attorney, a hilarious individual who loves a good corny joke, and also probably one of the best dads I've ever had. And I mean that.
Oh, well, that makes me feel so wonderful.
All right, so you're the only dad I've ever had.
But I kind of figured that.
So guys, coming up on the podcast, we have a new question of the week. We're going to have some stories with my dad, some fun games, and more. Okay, so let's go ahead and get to our question of the week. I actually posted it on the Professionally Silly Podcast group on Facebook. So if you are not a part of that, join in, because when I do set these questions, I do like to post them on there so you guys can go ahead and share your opinion on these questions. All right, so I have it pulled up here on the Professionally Silly Podcast group on Facebook once again. So the question of the week this time, and Dad, I want to ask you this question as well. I want to hear your answer. So the question is, if you lend someone money, do you have a say in what they spend their money on?
Now, is the money being lent or is it a gift?
That's a good question. Let's say they just asked you to borrow some money, so they didn't really tell you that.
Oh.
They just asked to borrow it.
Let me tell you the way I would look at it is that if it was a lending situation and I expected to get my money back, then I think it's reasonable to ask them what they're going to spend the money on, because that affects with their ability to repay me.
Mm. Spoken like a true attorney.
However, is that if it was a gift, I think once you let it go to them, I think you let all kinds of accountabilities and responsibilities along with it. I don't think you have anything to say about it.
Okay. So I can see both sides of that. Mm-hmm. So on the Facebook page, we have a few people who responded to that answer. Ebony said, no, it's their money once you give it to them. Shona says, nope, if you're that nosy, then don't lend anybody anything. Ed says, technically no, but if they specify what the money is for, and if it's not for that, or it's for some BS, I'm making mental notes. Okay, so it sounds like most people feel like once it's gone, it's gone. It's none of your business, which, again, if it's a gift and it's being lent, that does kind of change the balance there. Now, and also depends on who's asking, I say, because let's say, for instance, you have a family member that is horrible with money. They're constantly asking you for it. You know they're not good with money because they spend it on, I don't know, the newest iPhone all the time, or shoes they can't afford, and they don't have a job, but they always want, you know, that person you probably don't want to give money to.
That's right.
Unless you decide to give it as a gift, and then that's whatever they do with it is their problem.
Well, you know, my mama gave me some really good advice a long, long time ago. She said, because a lot of times people, they react in different ways to, you know, not being getting their money back or having somebody ask them for stuff. And, you know, a lot of people kind of just clam up and they say, I'm not going to deal with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are, you know, people that give it away and then they, you know, expect to get it back, but they don't get it back. They get real sad. And my mama told me, she said, listen, be generous to people. You know, be generous. Give them the shirt off your back. But never, ever give anyone anything that you can't afford to lose.
I've actually heard you say that before.
Yep. Because it's something like, you know, when I was younger, we used to have friends that come down to visit. Mm-hmm. And they would ask to borrow my car. You know? In fact, I had one time where he borrowed my car to go to the strip club. And he left a really nice bag on the front seat. He was going into the strip club to the, was Nicky's Purple Onion, one of those places.
Purple Onion, what a horrible name for a strip club.
I know, that's how long ago it was. But, you know, somebody saw that nice handbag in my car, and broke in the window and stole it. And he came back with my window broken. And I was trying to get to work the next day. Mm-hmm. And I remember what my mama says, you never, ever give somebody something you can't afford to lose. And I violated that, what she told me to do. And I kind of paid for it. Because, you know, the friend of mine, that made a very strained friendship. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't pay for it. He just got on the plane the next day and went back to wherever he came from. So I just say to people, listen, there's nothing wrong with you lending money, giving money. It really isn't. But I don't care under any circumstances should you give somebody something that you can't afford to lose. In other words, you can't give them your rent money. Mm-hmm. You can't give them your car. You can't give them the kind of thing that if they don't bring it back, they cause you a lot of deep harm.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you can, break it off for them.
Don't give more than you can afford.
More than you can afford to lose.
Yeah, more than you can afford to lose. I like that. All right, guys, coming up next, we have a new Have You Heard About with my dad next on the Professionally Silly Podcast. As I always begin this particular segment, have you heard about the passenger who was duct taped to his seat on the plane? Have you heard about this, Dad?
I did.
This is some crazy stuff. Did you hear like the details of it, or you just heard about?
I just heard that he was behaving very badly.
Oh, yeah.
And they just said, we're going to strap you in or tie you in or whatever to make sure that you don't do something stupid.
Yeah, no facts. And the funny thing is, on this podcast, I don't remember how long ago, but I did an episode a while back where I talked about someone else who was duct taped on mm-hmm. a plane a few years ago. So this is not even the first time this has happened. And I feel like because of all the craziness going on in the world, a lot of people feel like they can just do and say whatever the fuck they want to do and or say. But they're forgetting that, yeah, you can do those things, but there are consequences to the things you do and or say. You know what I'm saying? And so his consequence was being, you know, duct taped to a chair. So let's go ahead and dig into this. So this is all over the place. You can find it everywhere. Google it yourself if you want to look deeper into it. But I am on the Instagram page at CBS News Texas. That is the Instagram page I'm at. And it says here, an American Airlines flight from Dallas, Fort Worth to Newark made an unexpected stop in Baltimore late Thursday night due to a disruptive passenger. And the Fort Worth-based airline confirmed this, okay? So the man was pictured in the first-class seat and with multiple loops of tape around his wrist, torso, and head. In the statement to CBS News, the FBI said that the passenger is in custody on state charges, but agents are still investigating. So there is actually someone in the comments section at Jane_Quan_Wells who shared some more information via ABC News. So the passenger's name allegedly right now is Arthur Lundin, 67, of Arizona, was restrained to a seat with duct tape and his hands were restrained with zip ties, according to Maryland Transportation Authority police, which arrested him after the plane landed. A passenger was restrained with duct tape after he allegedly became unruly on the American Airlines flight. This is on September 3rd of this year. So the article goes on to say that the passenger was making derogatory remarks to the staff of American Airlines, and other passengers. We're talking racial slurs, vulgar language, very offensive words to women. Let's just face it. And he definitely said the N-word many times. A lot of just horrible shit was coming out of this, spewing out this man's mouth. And he also attempted to bite people. This man became physical, amongst other things. So apparently the cabin crews were equipped with zip ties and duct tape, which great. And I'm assuming it's for this reason, or hopefully not to fix the plane, because that's kind of scary. But so two other passengers were former law enforcement. They boxed him in and they restrained him. So that was taken care of. So what do you think about this? How would you feel if you were on that plane?
It sounds like it was a good idea, because that way you kind of hold him up from hurting himself and hurting other people. You know, but let me throw a curve at you.
All right.
Would you change your opinion, or would they might change their opinion, if it was like a 6-year-old boy? I've seen, or at least I heard one time, that there was a 6-year-old child and he was behaving very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher duct taped the 6-year-old to their chair.
Well, that's...
Does that change the opinion or way we look at it?
Yeah.
How?
Well, here's the thing. The 6-year-old, first of all, is a kid. We all know that's, you know, you got to be careful with that. But also, this is a 6-year-old child in a school on the ground. We need to contact the parents. We need to contact the, you know, social service, whoever. But in this instance, they're stuck on a plane in the air. There's only so much that they can do. They don't really have as many options as you would having as this teacher, you know, duct taping this child in a classroom where there are other people that this teacher could reach out to help or whatever. There are other options versus being 35, you know, 1,000 feet in the air.
And also being a child.
And yeah, and also being a child. Yeah, kids. I'm not like, what was that Michael Jordan mean? Fuck them kids. Do you remember when Michael Jordan, he went to like a school or something and he was like, I'll give every kid in the stadium some sneakers if I miss one shot. Didn't miss one damn free throw. Didn't miss one. And then that became the meme. Fuck them kids.
Hey, you know, it costs.
So that's some crazy stuff. So I actually have another, have you heard about? Would you like to get into that one?
Go ahead.
Let's do another one.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This Have You Heard About is coming from one of my favorite podcasts, the Bananas Podcast. Scotty, what's going on, man? Kurt, hey. So this is kind of interesting. So first of all, let me do my thing. Have you heard about Reese Witherspoon? Was chosen as jury foreman after jurors thought she went to law school because of the movie Legally Blonde. You've seen the movie, right?
Yeah, I have.
Would you consider Legally Blonde a chick flick? I guess it kind of is, right?
Oh.
Or is it just a comedy? Yeah, I think it's a chick flick.
It just sounds like one of those questions that a man shouldn't answer.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it just an action movie?
I've heard that it was a Christmas action movie that people kind of associate with the season and everybody watches it.
So I feel like that makes it a Christmas, because there are a lot of people, mm-hmm. It's not a Christmas. Like I'm talking about grown men really upset that people say it's a Christmas
upset
movie.
Upset about it. But I mean, I've seen a lot of people go. I remember the days back in Blockbuster Video.
Ah,
people
Blockbuster.
Always wanted to have it around Christmas. But people wanted to kind of turn it on as a Christmas type of tradition.
Yeah.
Along with Charlie Brown.
There you go. Charlie Brown, Die Hard, and Mariah Carey. Christmas.
Yippee-ki-yo.
No, yippee-ki-yay. Right?
Yippee-ki-yay, whatever it was. I can't say the rest of it because I don't want to, you know, get beeped. But anyway.
No, this is a, you can definitely curse here. Does not matter. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the story here. So we are on the at the Bananas Podcast Instagram. And they got this from, looks like Fashion Times is who they got here. So it says Academy Award winning actress Reese Witherspoon has revealed a bizarre real life legal mix up. She recalled being chosen as a jury foreperson because of her because her fellow jurors believe she had attended law school after seeing her portray law student Elle Woods in the movie Legally Blonde, which I will say, love that movie. One of my favorites, Bend and Snap. If you know, you know. All right. So the Big Little Lies star, another great series that was on HBO. Remember a while back when I was living in Los Angeles, I got sent like all these random prop things from HBO. They wanted me to do like this little video thing for Big Little Lies.
Yes.
Yeah. I still have all those wigs, by the way. But yeah. Also, if you have not seen Big Little Lies, awesome. I believe Zoe Kravitz is in that as well. It was a good show.
Well, anyways, I enjoyed her in the election.
Was that what that was? Yes. I think she was in that. Reese Witherspoon's, I feel like she is, she, you know what, I'm going to say this and some people will disagree, but I think most people will agree. She's a wonderful actress. She's very good.
I think so.
She has a good range of comedy and, you know, drama. I don't think she can do action. I don't know. I've never seen it, but everything else, she's kind of got it. All right. So Big Little Lies star recounted the hilarious anecdote during an appearance on the Graham Norton show. And Reese Witherspoon said that the incident occurred roughly 7 years after the 2001 comedy in which she famously played the pink loving Harvard Law School student. So summoned for jury duty in Beverly Hills, Witherspoon said that she initially assumed she would be dismissed. Instead, she was selected to serve on a lengthy civil trial that lasted about 2 weeks. The case involved a dispute between a woman and a dog owner after the woman was injured while putting her hand into a fight between dogs. Witherspoon recalled that she and the other jurors were required to attend court every day throughout the trial. The strangest moment came during the jury's deliberations and when the group needed to choose a foreperson. According to Witherspoon, the other jurors quickly decided that she should take the role. And the actress found it odd why her fellow jurors would choose her amongst the rest. When she asked why, they had signaled her out. Their explanation left her stunned. They believed she had been to law school. Clearly, this is not actually true. A lot of people, I'm sorry to say this, listeners, but the things you see in movies and TV shows, they're not usually real. Even reality TV is fake. So,
really?
I'm telling you, man. Oh. I know, it's just a mind-blown shocker. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. So it says, clearly, the misconception, realizing that her fictional academic credentials as Elle Woods had apparently blurred with reality. Reese Witherspoon said that she immediately corrected the misconception. She said, y'all, this is really upsetting. I definitely did not go to law school. I don't know why I'm being country. I'm thinking about Sweet Home Alabama.
You just put a little bit of twang in there. Yeah. Sweet Home Alabama. Okay.
She said, I didn't finish college. And this is a quote. All right. Y'all, this is really upsetting. I definitely did not go to law school. I didn't finish college. She, end quote, she recalled telling the other jurors. Witherspoon added that she explained that she had simply played a lawyer in a film, but the group made her foreperson anyway. She clarified that her credentials playing Elle Woods was fictional and she had no law degree. So
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Okay, got it.
I really hope that these people wouldn't like go out into the wild and see George Clooney and like do my surgery because you were a doctor on ER in the 90s. Like,
you would think so, but however, people internalize a lot of this
stuff.
That's
true. I mean, you know what? You know, Law and Order, SVU.
Yep.
Mariska Hargitay.
Yep.
Hargitay. She played a detective, went sergeant. Now she's captain and whatnot. And I remember reading a story not too long ago where there was a child. They were filming in New York, and a child had walked onto their set while they were filming or something. She was lost. Saw Mariska Hargitay, literally thought she was a cop. They stopped filming everything, from what I understand. Mariska helped her, you know, find her mom, figure out what was going on. Like, she literally took on the role as a cop while playing a cop. But she also, there's something about, there's just certain people like her, the character, she played that character for so long, at some point it might just become a little subconsciously part of you. But to play such a strong female role and such an important type of job, you know, and it was on set, she was already mentally, you know, Sergeant Benson at that time. So I just think that's kind of cool, because you're right. You're right. If I saw, you know, like Batman in the streets, like, it just literally, and honestly, I did a lot in Los Angeles, but I, like in Hollywood, I would probably still ask him, hey, man, that dude stole my wallet. Do something. Because if you're dressed like Batman, you need to.
That's right. You got the uniform on. Okay.
Do you remember that? I think it was Dave Chappelle who did a stand-up special. I can't remember which one it was, but he was talking about how if you see a cop and you want to ask them for help, is you dress like a cop? And I love that. I love that one. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. If you were, because you're an attorney, so. Uh-huh. You've been summoned before, right? For jury duty?
Yes.
Have you ever had to actually serve as a juror?
No, I would go in and tell them I'm an attorney, and next thing I know, I get booted out the door.
Oh, man, I got to try that. I'll tell them I'm an attorney next time. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. This is a lot of fun. Coming up next, guys, Dad and I, we're going to have a little discussion about some family times that we've had. You ready for that?
Okay.
Let's get to it next on the Professionally Silly Podcast. All right, so Dad, a lot of people, especially if you are not a new listener, you've been following my content for quite some time, you know that I'm adopted. Yes. And so I remember
you
were there. I remember you telling me the story about like how you kind of knew that I was gonna be a thing, like I was gonna be alive, like an entity of this world. And you had already named me and all these things. Could you tell me a little bit about that? Tell our listeners about that.
Well, you know, I come from spooky people. You know, we have a lot of stories in my family that, you know, I'm sure when you mention them to outsiders, they'll say, you know, I'm not believing this or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just say to you in the audience, I understand. And if you want to, you know, send back in and wonder if I'm FOS, full of sugar. And, you know, certainly feel free to do so. But I can tell you the story. Yes, I knew you way before you were here. And at that time, I was dating your soon-to-be mother, soon-to-be wife. And I used to always talk with her, you know, about Amber. And she would say, who is Amber? And I'd say, Amber is my daughter. And she would say, WTF, you didn't tell me you had a child. And I said, well, I do, but I'm waiting on time to catch up with this. And that was years before you were here. Well, is that she told me that she could not have children. Mm-hmm. So, you know, wasn't going to be nothing popping out here. And I said, oh, it sounds like, you know, in the Bible where Sarai talked to God and, you know, was told by God that she was going to have a baby. And she was like 95 years old, her and Abraham. Mm-hmm. And she laughed at God. And of course, God said, you're not supposed to be laughing at God. OK, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, is that we won't go. We'll say that story for another time. What happened to Abram and Sarai?
Okay.
And that was very interesting, but we'll leave that alone.
Okay.
Is that when we had you, my wife, wonderful wife, says that I can't have children. I said, don't worry about it. She'll be here. And she was talking to a lady at the airport, and she worked for Eastern Airlines at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And what she was saying is that she wanted to adopt a child. And that conversation was overheard by another worker at Eastern Airlines who happened to know somebody out in California that did adoptions, that arranged for adoptions.
Oh, that was mom's friend, right?
Well, it was her friend that was doing the talking, mm-hmm. and then she talked to another lady who talked to another lady, and next thing, you know, we heard...
A baby grapevine.
There was a baby coming, and the baby was coming in Oakland area.
Oh, I always knew I was hood.
That was a funny thing, because the lady, who was a very nice white lady, she said that she couldn't find, you know, adoptive parents, black parents out there. And I said, did you look in Oakland? There's a lot of folks there.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, she arranged it. And then we flew out to, or you'll say, your first of all, your mama flew out. And she talked to the lady. And before she went out and talked to the lady, I said, that's Amber. And your mama looked at me cross-eyed, like, you know, what are you talking about? I said, that's Amber. She's coming. So they went out there and they met each other.
My biological mother?
Your biological mother met her while she was still carrying you.
Oh, I was in house.
And the lady was she was really, really pretty. The bio mama, she looked like she could be your mama's younger sister.
Oh, wow. That explains a lot, because even growing up, everyone's like, you look just like your parents. I'm like, how is that possible?
You know, things happen. So they met and really hit it off. You know, I stayed out. I stayed back. I didn't want to be involved with that, because I figured there may be some problems with, you know, the husband or the daddy and all that kind of business. So anyway, I let that go. And then we went out to California on the day after Juneteenth, because you were born on Juneteenth. And we saw you, and it was just love at first sight. I said, that's Amber. Because I used to tell your mother and anybody who would listen about how you looked, how you sounded, how you acted. I saw you, pictures of you, all the way up to seeing your picture on the driver's license.
Oh, wow. So then you could have stopped me from having my hair like that. What? Well, why didn't you say something?
You know, I just leave it right alone. So, yes. So, you know, that's the kind of spooky stuff that I can tell people. People say, yeah, Jones, you know, they're looking at me side-eye. But, you know, it really did happen.
Well, didn't you say I was born with like some weird birthmark on my forehead or something?
You had a big birthmark on your head, like what was his name, Gorbachev?
Oh my God!
The Russian guy, premier.
Oh my God!
And we looked at that and said, well, "What's up with that?" And the doctor said, "Don't worry about it; it's going to go away. It's a birthmark."
Oh, and I might still have it. Maybe it went someplace else.
Yeah, under that hair, you got it. Yeah,
oh, then I'm never going bald.
But yes, I come from a family of kind of spooky people, that we kind of understand stuff like that. And when we tell it to people outside, they'll say, you know, I don't believe it. There was a time, can I tell you about the time when my mother drove my car and she wasn't in it?
I've never heard this, please.
Okay. Is that there was a time back in like 1984, around that time. And I had just bought a new Recaro Trans Am. It was a beautiful car. It was the most expensive car that Pontiac made that year.
Oh, I remember Pontiac.
And it was a gorgeous car. It had the T-tops. You know, it had the whole Miami Vice vibe to it.
How old were you?
And I was working for the labor board, so I had to be... How old was I in 1984? I was 30 years, 50, 90, 54, 84. Anyway, about 30 years old.
Okay.
And so I was driving from Fort Worth on 20 back to Atlanta. But around Sunnydale, Texas, they had an ice storm.
An ice storm?
Yeah, it was a big, thick ice storm, and nothing was moving.
Huh.
So as I had to pull off at this diner, and I slept there for like 2 days in this diner. And then finally got back on the road, because that car was worth nothing, you know, in ice. So anyway, I finally got back on the road, I-20, coming back, crossing the Mississippi River. Now, on the other side of the Mississippi, I think it's either Meridian or Natchez, one of those two places. But anyway, right as you get into Mississippi, Well, I got this mama, and she was one of them praying mamas, you know, that prayed with you the whole way, you know, as far as she was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But she says, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to pray and I'm going to, you know, do the thing and be with you and whatever. I said, okay, fine. You know, pray, please help me. So anyway, I stopped in, I guess it was Natchez. Anyway, right across the river at the Welcome Center.
Mm-hmm.
And what I decided to do was take a little snooze. So I took my keys and threw them on the passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the Welcome Center. And I'm kicking back, and I said, I'm going to try to get myself a little bit of sleep. Well, next thing I knew, I woke up, and I looked around, and there was about a good half dozen of white folks, and they're shaking my car.
Oh, that's terrifying.
They're rocking the car, and they're saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. And so I looked up, and I was in the middle of a traffic intersection.
What?
Yeah, I was in the middle of a traffic intersection. And I, of course, didn't know how I got there. But, you know, I finally did wake up and decided it was a good idea to go check myself into a motel, get some rest. So anyway, I called my mama and told her about it. She says, yeah, I know.
What?
I said, how do you know? She says, well, I was with you. And I decided I just wanted to see downtown Natchez. And the thing about it was that was so strange. It was downtown Natchez was like 7 miles away from the Welcome Center. And so, and also the car was a manual drive. So you had to.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So Nana is alive.
Huh?
She's alive.
What?
Nana.
Still alive. She was still alive back then.
How the fuck?
So is that the part that really was really trippy was that she said, oh, I was with you the whole time. I just wanted to see this place. And she described all the things that were along the way. She described the Confederate cemetery and this and that, you know, so she knew all that stuff. Now, I understand people are going to say, you know, once again, I'm FOS and I ain't mad at you. I'm just saying that that's what happened. And I did make it home. Obviously, I didn't die. And everything came out all right. But I told her, I said, next time you decide you want to drive my car, give me a phone call.
Oh, my God.
But yes, I come from spooky people. So
that explains a lot, actually, for me.
I expect that, you know, you will develop your spookiness along the way.
Along the way, Dad, I haunt ghosts.
That's where it comes from.
Like I'm a paranormal investigator.
That's where you can say that you are not closed in your mind as to what ought to be. You know,
that's true.
You're not looking at this saying, well, this
open.
Doesn't make sense or this doesn't whatever. Is that sometimes you got to stretch outside.
I like that. That was a fun, spooky family story that I wasn't even aware of. Listeners, you got that exclusive right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast. Coming up next, Dad and I, we are going to play a little trivia game, a little general trivia, because my dad, and everybody says this, my daddy's the smartest daddy in all the world. I honestly feel that way, and we're going to go ahead and test your general knowledge.
All right.
All right, let's get to it next on the Professionally Silly Podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So we are going to have a little fun little trivia game, Dad. I have 10 questions for you right now. Okay.
All right.
And we're going to go ahead and test out your general knowledge. And honestly, I feel like since there are 10, I'm going to go ahead and guess how many questions I think you'll get right out of the 10. Because some of these, I'm not sure if you know. So I'm going to say you're going to get 8 out of 10. I think you're going to get 8.
Well, are they going to be multiple choice?
No.
Okay.
These are just straight up question answer. But I feel like you'll get
it,
though.
Yeah, I think you'd be right. If it was multiple choice, I'd get 10 out of 10.
Oh, I'm sure you would. Hey, no looking at this.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Go.
All right, question number 1. What is the only gemstone produced by a living creature?
Amber. Well, I guess, you know, if you would say...
A gemstone.
Huh?
A gemstone.
Amber's not a gemstone?
Produced by a living creature.
Yeah, I would say if it wasn't amber, it'd be pearl.
Ding, ding, ding. Pearl. All right. So question number two. So technically you got that. You did get it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So number two, according to folklore, what does a visit from a cardinal represent? According to folklore, what does a cardinal visit represent?
Cardinals always represented winter and new life. And let's see. A visit from a cardinal? I don't know. I'd say good luck. What is it?
A greeting from a deceased loved one, supposedly.
Oh.
But that's almost unfair because there are different things that people believe when they see cardinals or butterflies or whatever. But one of them, I think one of the main ones, like I would say top two for sure, would be good luck most likely, but also in... a greeting from a deceased loved one.
Okay.
So right now you've got 1 out of 10.
1 out of 2.
All right, here we go. What eye color is most common worldwide?
Brown.
All right, knock that out of the park. Okay. Question number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And now this one I know you're going to get.
Okay.
In Greek mythology.
I know that pretty well. I know that stuff.
I know. We just saw the Odyssey. All right.
Right.
In Greek mythology, who was the god of the sea?
Oh, now I know who that is.
I know you do.
It's right on the tip of my tongue. Let's see. Because
god of the sea.
He was the Cyclops daddy. Poseidon.
Yes. Poseidon.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually kind of surprised you didn't say that like immediately.
I know. I just had a brain thing.
All right. So now we have what you've only missed one so far.
Right.
Okay. So. Which famous musician was nicknamed Satchmo?
Oh, Louis. Yeah. Louis Armstrong.
Okay, all right.
No doubt.
Here we are at question number 6 so far. You've only missed one. What number 6? What sport did Sam Malone professionally play in the TV show Cheers?
He was a baseball player.
Knock that one out the park. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And for those of you, Sam Malone was played by Ted Danson on the TV show Cheers. I think it was based in Boston, and it was in the 80s and 90s. And then there was like a spinoff of the show Frasier. So there's some fun stuff there for you guys. All right, question number 7. How do you say no in Spanish?
No.
Very good. It would have been hilarious if you're like, I don't think I know that one. I think the word no is translated as no in over 17 languages, probably more than that.
Yeah.
All right. Question. And so far, you've only missed one.
One.
All right. Here we go. So question number 8. What color is a polar bear's skin?
You know, I don't know. Is that if I was going to take a guess, I would say that it would be white, but then I say, no, that's not it. And it's not pink. I would guess black.
Black it is.
Mm-hmm.
Polar bear skin is black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, they're a fake and Jamaican in as much as they're white on the outside, but down deep they're black. You know, so they're really faking the funk because they don't want to get stopped by the police. Or, you know, or shook down, you know, whatever they said. We up here in Canada, up here in Lapland, you know, the police going to stop you if they see the black boy running out there. Whatever.
That's right. Got to put on that white fur.
So they understood what the deal was.
Yeah, you're definitely my father. Mm-hmm. Question number 9. 2 more questions. And so far, you still only missed 1 question.
Okay.
All right, what was Marilyn Monroe's real name? Question number 9, what was Marilyn Monroe's real name?
Now, I should know that because of the Elton John song about the candle in the wind. So it was Jean, you know, I don't know. What is it?
Norma Jean Baker.
Jean, okay.
You were close.
Jean in there.
You were close. Norma Jean Baker.
Okay.
Which, by the way, fun little shout out to me. I actually got a chance to investigate the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood, California. And we were on the second floor. And we were on the same floor as where Marilyn Monroe had the Marilyn Monroe Suite, they call it now, where she actually lived there for about 2 years. Okay. We did do a podcast episode kind of like, sharing some of the audio that I got from there. And to this day, I still think that that is Marilyn Monroe's voice. So if you want to hear that for yourself, check out the Marilyn Monroe episode that I did. It was earlier this year in 2026. And also the full investigation of that, the video footage of that can be found on the Professionally Silly YouTube channel under the Paranormal Blacktivity playlist. So go ahead and check that out.
All right.
All right. So last question. So far you've missed two out of 10, which that was my guess. I kind of gave you number 7. How do you say no in Spanish? That was like a little fun one. I hope there was someone listening to this. Like, what is the word no in Spanish? There's got to be at least one person who's like, I don't know what that is.
I guess you could say basta.
Well, that's like enough, right? Well,
that's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, enough. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Boss is like stop, enough. So no. So that's still not no.
Okay.
I mean, that is no if you're trying to get consent. Mm-hmm. All right. So question number 10. What famous Greek warrior died because he took an arrow to the heel? What famous Greek warrior died because he took an arrow to the heel?
Oh, let's see now. He was shot. Let's see. The guy, Paris, ran off with Helen of Troy. Okay, so later on, they got involved in the Odyssey with Achilles. And Achilles was invincible because, you know, his whole body was dipped in some magic stuff by his mama. Mm-hmm. But when they dipped it in, they held him up by those parts on his heel.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put him in, and his only weak spot was that. But I think he got shot in the heel, and so that's where he kind of met his downfall.
Not only did he get the answer right, he explained the lore of it. Achilles mm-hmm. is the name of the Greek warrior who died because he took an arrow to the... Not only... I love that, by the way. I love that. And guys, this is what I got to grow up with. He is the reason that I know most of the things that I know. Now, here's a little bonus question. So you did get 8 out of 10. I was right.
You had it right.
I got that right. Here's a bonus question. If you can get this one right, then I'll give you the full 2 points.
All right.
And this is more of a personal one.
All right.
Okay. Now think back. What was my favorite corny joke that we told as when I was a kid?
Your favorite corny joke was a joke saying, it was a knock-knock joke. When you said, knock-knock, and they say, who's there? You say, barbecue. And then you would they say barbecue who? And you would say barbecue chicken. Now, you used to say that one. And of course, you know, the other one that you used to come in and tell me was when you were like 10, 12 years old, you said, daddy, 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 what do you get when you mix an elephant with a rhinoceros? And I'd say, baby, I don't know. What do you get when you mix an elephant with a rhinoceros? And you said, Elif, I know. And I am not so sure that you really understood that joke, but certainly you knew how to tell it.
And that's how I became a podcaster.
Elefino.
Actually, that's funny because you tell that story so often. That is one of my favorite jokes when mm-hmm. I was a kid that I used to tell you. What was the one that we told? We told one together. We did one as like a duo.
We used to tell this joke, and it was a little long, but it was worth the punchline. It was worth
Let's do it. Let's do it. Listeners will enjoy it.
The juice was worth the squeeze, whatever. Okay, the chicken goes into the library, and it hops up on the table and looks at the librarian and says, book. And the librarian says, you want a book? He says, book. And so he reached back, gave him a novel. Chicken goes off. About a half an hour later, chicken comes back, jumps up on the same table, same librarian, and says, book, book. So you want 2 books this time. Chicken nods, reach back, give him 2 books. Chicken goes off. About a half hour later, same chicken comes back, same librarian, same table, and says, book, book, book. He says, two short and one long. So he gives them books. But now the librarian's getting a little confused, or at least curious as to what this chicken is doing with all these books. So he follows the chicken. And the chicken has the books under her wing. She's flopping along, losing a few feathers. And he follows her out the library, out to this field, and out to a pond. Okay, there was a pond there. And as they got there, or as, you know, the chicken got there, out hopped a large frog. And the chicken is showing the frog the books. And as the chicken shows the frog the book, the frog says,
read it, read it, read it. To this day, that is my favorite joke. I am 40 years old, and that still gets me every time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Before we end this podcast,
okay.
I want to go ahead and make sure, I want to share something with you guys. My dad and I, not only do we have a loving, amazing relationship, but we also have a nonprofit.
Yes.
And I want to take a few moments to talk about that. From broke to breakthrough. Dad, will you just tell us a little bit about our nonprofit and what our goal is, and maybe even a tiny, tiny, tiny taste of the secret sauce. Not too much, but just enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as you were coming up, you know, I think that you had a superior education. And I don't think it really is that much more of an education to make a superior as opposed to just a regular standard education.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you had a superior education because you got exposed to so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to bring that whole idea to as many children as we could to give them a little bit more of a flavor of, you know, an education, what an education is really about. Education is about three things. It's about being able to read, to write, and to think.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, what is the best way of doing that? And we came to the idea that the best way for that to happen is to have parents read to their child out loud 15 minutes a day. Because that's what we did with you.
Mm-hmm.
We would just read to you, and you just absorbed all that stuff because it's easier to absorb that and to understand it if it's being read to you, because you don't have to process at the same time the words on the page.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to listen and feel. So anyway, we started this program to call Parent Child Read Aloud is Powerful. And what we do is that we have parents read aloud to their child 15 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that when that happens, all kinds of wonderful things happen. Because, see, a lot of folks are getting hung up with the wrong things nowadays. For example, down in Tuskegee,
mm-hmm.
they went through this whole thing about bonnets and, you know, pajamas and whatever, that you can't wear that going to school.
Wearing bonnets and pajamas in school, yeah.
And, of course, you know, I had to smile when I heard that. I said, well, can somebody tell me, is it more likely for a student to get through college, matriculate, and graduate, depending upon what they wore to class?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the answer is, it has nothing to do with it. Well, if it has nothing to do with it, then let people alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't try to make them into what you want them to be. But anyway, that was the whole idea that I think we get sidetracked with our education system, that really what we want to do is make it so our children can read, write, and think. So we found that was the easiest way of getting it done. So we have, like this year, we have 50 interns that we give a couple dollars to, but we also get the statement or the promise from the parents and the consent from the child that they're going to read to them 15 minutes a day.
Now, the internship, another fun part about that, I think, of the whole thing, is that because you are an attorney with your own law firm, they get to run around and tell their friends that they're a paid intern at a law firm, and they get themselves a check.
That's right. And I think that that is, we call it in our hood, we call it DAP. And I think another word for it is cachet. Mm-hmm. But either way, it makes a child feel kind of special. Mm-hmm. For example, let me give you how everything works. This year we had a really wonderful child named Delasia. Mm-hmm. Delasia was, I think she was going into the fourth grade. Now I think she's in the fifth grade. But as she was a rising third grader, her reading testing was so low that they held her back a grade. And so all the other students that she was got accustomed to went and left her, and she was still in third grade. Well, me and her mama, we started on this reading 15 minutes a day. And mama really got into it. And after about 5-6 months of this, they retested Delasia. And when they retested Delasia, they said, oh, she's caught up with their group. So now she was taken and put back into that fourth grade group.
With the rest of her friends.
Yeah. So that was, and she was back with her friends. But however, what happened was she caught fire. And she became the person that was designated as the reader for her class. So whenever they wanted anybody to read anything out loud to the class, they'd always say, Delasia, step up. And she was happy to do that. But as I said, she caught fire. She started going back to the first graders, and she was reading out loud to them.
Oh, yeah.
And as I said, she caught fire. She went to, after that, to the children's hospital and went from place to place to place reading out loud to these children. Okay? Here's the cherry on top, is that she got to be so happy with putting together, you know, ideas and reading and writing, till just a few weeks ago, she completed writing her first book. You know, as the chicken said,
so
book,
awesome.
book. Anyway, she's now an author, and she's now, you know, going around to a lot of different bookstores, and they're printing up her book, and she's selling her books and whatever.
Oh, she's selling them now. I didn't know that.
She's selling. And, of course, here's the extra cherry on top. I guess it's the sprinkles. Is that she ended up testing so well that they moved her up to the advanced group.
All right.
In her class. So she has now left her group that she, her regular students that she was with. Now she's with the accelerated group.
So she went from being left behind to catching up to reading to other children to retesting and then catching up with her friends to writing, publishing, and selling a book to surpassing her friends.
Right.
And she is in the fifth grade?
She's like fifth grade now.
Wow.
But see, that's the reason why we did what we did, because we knew the power in that read aloud. That's why we call it parent-child read aloud is powerful. We have scores of kids that had the same kind of reaction that Delasia had. It only takes a minute. And that's why we're so excited about it, in as much as it's something that everybody can do. I mean, even if you're a parent, you know, we don't worry about that too much, because a lot of times parents have been beat down so much that they don't want to do or don't think that they're able to do anything with their child's education. Mm-hmm. They believe that the education is being done by these professionals, and you know, they this so only their job just to take the child and dress them up and send them to class.
Yeah, and especially if you're doing public school education where there are way more students than there are teachers, and then you have different things that can be disruptive in the classroom that can be distracting, especially now with all these cell phones and whatnot. So, and then you have other children who may want to learn but can't because of the environment that they're in. There are so many different stipulations that can slow down a child's education. And so that's another reason why we find it, another reason why we find it important that the parent does get involved in your child's education, because it really does take a village. And here's a crazy thing, you may have not thought about this. Parents, you are part of that village, especially when it comes to the education.
I think the parents really want to do something. Mm-hmm. They just don't oftentimes know what to do.
Exactly.
And of course, we daddies, we have been reduced to the enforcer.
The protector.
We're the ones that stand over the child and says, you know, little mofo, you're going to do this work.
You just wait till your father gets home.
And, you know, that's a shame, because I think that we want to be more involved with it. We just sometimes just don't know how. And so this is what we have. And so we've written and published 3 books already. We have another 2 or 3 sitting around in our heads. We'll get to them, you know, once Trump stops that, you know.
We've written a couple of books or whatever.
China.
It's not, you know,
that's
it's whatever.
We get our books from, whatever. But either way, we'll figure it out. But, you know, those are written to have certain ideas put forth to a child that we think are important as parents. Mm-hmm. You know, that first book we wrote was the child's first book about money. Statistically, if a child is like 7 years old, that's when their future or their adult spending habits have become ensconced. And, you know, we want to try to get to kids early, because I do bankruptcies. I try to take people who are grown and try to get them to change their ways. But it's much easier if you get them right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, one of the reasons I say, and a lot of communities, is that there is a lot of financial ignorance that's going around the world in general. And people, sometimes they're lucky enough to get some money, but the moment they get that money, it's gone. They're not thinking about the future. They're not thinking about, they're like, oh, I'm about to buy this shoes or this Beyonce tickets, or I'm going to buy a photograph of Chris Brown or whatever the thing is. There's a lot of financial literacy, and then that is being learned, you know, from their parents. So children are learning that from their parents, and then it just becomes like a cycle. So our book, you know, A Child's First Book About Money, is to not just for the kid, but also for the parent to read to the child. So you're both learning something together, and hopefully it'll, you know, kind of like move the arrow towards a better financial decisions in your future.
That's what we do. That's what we do. Our second book, of course, is called, you know, it's Cows and Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And we tell the story, which I first heard from my older brother. And
Uncle Tara?
Tony.
Oh.
And he knew about this story because he lived out in Albuquerque. And it's kind of like a Native American story that they tell.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And it talks about, you know, Colorado. Mm-hmm. We're in the west, you have the Rocky Mountains, but to the east, you have the flat Kansas Plain. And it's so flat that you can see all the way to the horizon. Well, just like, you know, we can see a weather front when it rolls in, so can the animals. And it's one of the few places where you have cows and buffalo in the same area. And how they react to it makes all the difference. Because when the cows see the storm coming, they get in a herd and they run away from the storm. Now, cows don't run very fast. So the storm quickly overtakes them. And because they're running with the storm, they stay in the storm longer. And if you've ever seen any of those movies like Twister or whatever movie.
Yeah, I love that.
They talk about flying cows.
Yeah, that's always a thing. That's always, you always see the flying cow in those movies.
Well, the reason why you see the flying cow is because the cow is moving along at full gallop. And it's in the storm. And it's just like an airplane. If a big gust of wind gets under it.
It's done.
Whoosh.
Yeah.
Flying cow. Now, the buffalo are completely different. The buffalo, when they see the storm coming, they get in a herd and they charge into the storm. And because they're running against the storm, they get through the storm quicker and without incident, because you never heard of a flying buffalo. So we tell that story just to say that, you know, children, parents, all of us, we're going to all face that same storm. But how we react to it makes all the difference in the world. You've seen people who get caught up in their problems, mm-hmm. running away to get away from their problems, but all of a sudden they're just like a plastic bag in a windstorm, just floating around in there. Well, we wanted to get the idea to our children that when you come across adversity, when you come across a storm, charge into it. Be the buffalo.
If you're not inspired right now, you have no soul. Tell them about book number 3, and then I want you to tell them, you know, about the website, you know, where they can check out what we're doing and all that good stuff, and then we'll go ahead and sign out.
Okay, well, but, yeah. The website is FBroke2Breakthrough, Inc.
And I'll make sure I link it down below in the show notes just so you guys know.
That's right. So if they want to go ahead and purchase a book, just let us know. We can get one to them.
And hey, if you're nice, we'll get you some ones that are signed, because we have some at the house.
We have some signed.
Yeah.
But the last one we have published, but we'll have a few more in another year or so, but still the last one we have published is called The Most Important Thing Daddy Does, which is kind of autobiographical of me and you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people used to always wonder when they saw the books that we published before that, they didn't have, you know, the character of a mother. There wasn't a woman, and it was always the daddy and the daughter hanging out, whatever, and doing their thing. So we wanted to introduce her, I thought, the proper way. So is that the book is about the relationship between me and you, and, you know, the child is saying, my name is, you know, her name is Jay. But she says, I'm going to tell you a story about the most important thing daddy does. And she says, you know, my daddy, you know, reads to me every night. Of course, that's our 15 minutes. She says, but that's not the most important thing he does. He gives me hugs every day. And that's not the most important thing he does. And the whole book is a series of all these things daddy does. Like he goes to work every day so we have a place to stay, but that's not the most important thing that he does. Mm-hmm. He buys me clothes when I go back to school. That's not the most important thing he does. And she goes through all these different scenarios about it. And she says, you know, sometimes, you know, we go outside at night and he points out the stars and the moon, but that's not the most important thing he does. The most important thing he does is he loves my mama. So we wanted to kind of bring that in to kind of get that idea across to people. Because a lot of times, you know, we brothers, we forget. We think that, you know, giving the child hugs and kisses is important. And it is. And we think that, you know, buying them stuff where they can go back to school and show off their new Jordans. And it is. But we believe the most important thing that a daddy can do for his child is love, respect, be kind to the child's mama.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I must say once again, if you are interested in any of these 3 books or any of the ideas of how to help your child move forward in their learning capabilities, because they are capable. They just need a little bit of help. And that's what we do from Broke to Breakthrough. So once again, the website is fb2binc.com, and the word and the letter and the number two, excuse me. And once again, it will be put down in the link down below in the show notes, so you can go ahead and check that out for yourself. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, if there is anything you can take from this podcast episode, it's I'm a daddy's girl and always will be. It is what it is. Professionally silly life rules. First of all, I want to thank you, Dad, for joining on this episode.
My pleasure.
I cannot wait to bring you back, because we do have some stories, two stories definitely we have to share that really pissed Mom off about things that you did with me when I was a child that yeah. could have put my life in danger. We might talk about that. I mean, I made it. I'm here. So
that's right. So at least we know the ending.
Spoiler alert. I made it.
Yeah, you know, I didn't die.
And also I want to shout out my listeners, because you guys are fucking titties. You guys know how much people love titties, and that's who you are. And don't forget, I love your faces, but most of all, the ears that are attached to them. I appreciate you guys joining me every week on the podcast. Subscribe on whatever platform that you are using. There's not going to be a video for this particular episode, because I just wanted to have an intimate moment with my dad, and I didn't want to focus on the lighting and all that shit. So if you want to take a listen to this, go ahead, and I'll be sure to bring him back, because there are more fun stories and opportunities and even things that we can learn from my dad. He is one of the smartest guys out there. So he'll be your podcast father.
All right.
Also, do your girl a favor, leave me a 5-star and or written review on whatever platform that you're using, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is how we can grow our Smile Squad professionally silly family, and how people who are looking for some fun to listen to in their ears, they can find us through your reviews. Okay. If you want to reach out to me, my email is itsprofessionallysilly@gmail.com. You can DM me on Instagram at itsprosilly. My Google voice number, 805-664-1828. Or you can hit me up on my SpeakPipe for my international listeners. SpeakPipe.com/AmberSmilesJones. All these things can be found down below in the show notes / description box. My P.O. Box, if you want to go ahead and go old school, you can snail mail me P.O. Box, Amber Smiles Jones, P.O. Box, 533 Lovejoy, Georgia, 30250. Once again, it's your audible boo thang, Amber Smiles Jones, and her audible father.
Thank you.
Milton D. Jones, thank you so much for listening to the Professionally Silly Station, where I take my silliness seriously. And I'll leave you with this. Gum is just flavor that you're renting. Anyways, enjoy that random thought. Until next time, peace, silly listeners. Until you decide to tune in, watch where you step, because there are pieces of shit everywhere, and they love to spread their ignorance. Okay, bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.